Hello, everyone, and welcome to Job Board Geek, the podcast about the business of connecting candidates and employers. I'm Jeff Dickey Chasins, the Job Board Doctor. I am your host, and I'm here today with the arbitrage-inclined Stephen Rothberg of College Recruiter. He is the co-host. Hey, Stephen, how's it going?
It's going great, although I think you meant albatross, not arbitrage.
No, I don't think so. So today we actually have a really interesting guest, fellow I've known for a long time, Ian Partington, originally of Simply Jobs, the founder. He's out of the UK. He's now on a new venture called HST Hiring Group, and he's doing another job board as well. And I'm sure he has his fingers into four or five different pots. We'll find out about that. But first, Stephen, wanted to talk to you a little bit about financials I saw come up this week. ZipRecruiter was reporting their Q4, and the revenue for them is up 94%, even though the net income fell. I thought it was interesting because 94%, that seems like a pretty big number to me, but it's interesting how they've been able to sustain this in light of the fact that there don't seem to be enough candidates to be filling jobs. And I'm just guessing that they're making a persuasive case to employers that you need to stay out there and try to reach the candidates that are out there. Now, Zip is forecasting a year revenue of about $878 to $892 million, which is getting up towards that $1 billion mark. So, Stephen, I'm kind of curious, what do you think? Do you think they did a good job, or do you think they should have done better?
Okay. Well, I hadn't thought about it in that terms. I was thinking good job. I wasn't even thinking, could it be better? So Zip has done a really fantastic job of executing. One of the reasons I really like to look at Zip's earnings, its stock price, is it's really one of the only pure play job boards that are publicly traded. Dice is another one. If you look at Indeed, owned by Recruit, and some of the other ones like Monster by with Ronstadt, there's so much of the staffing business that gets into the stock price. You can't really look at that and say, how are job boards performing? What does the market look like? Look at job boards for valuation purposes. But Zip is a good indicator for that. They've got a really fantastic management team, leadership team. The founders came from outside the industry with a whiteboard and just basically reimagined what it should look like from an employer and from a candidate standpoint. They've executed really wonderfully. I would have to say that the reason that their revenues are up so much is that they're riding the wave. The small businesses, especially in their core market in the US, are hiring way more now than they were a year ago. Zip is one of the best places for those employers to advertise those jobs. If their earnings were up, a paltry 20%, I think we would be, throwing arrows and darts at them and wondering what the heck they're doing over there. 94% to me really indicates that they're executing well and that the underlying economy is working in their favor at this point.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I was thinking about some of the other boards. I mean, you're right, everyone's up, and everyone that is publicly traded pretty much is up. Job boards from Seek to Job Index in Denmark to Dice that you mentioned, but most of them are not up 94%. A lot of people are up 20%, 30%, something like that. So it's an impressive number. So we'll see how long they can keep it up. I mean, I think that's the challenge that Indeed historically had run into until the pandemic boom, is that the bigger you get, the harder it is to make those big percentage jumps. So we'll see what happens.
I think that the Zip also announced at the same time that they're doing a stock buyback. If I'm not mistaken, it was like $100 million or something. I think they went public at $21, maybe $22. Their stock was at, I think, $19. So down a bit. A stock buyback means basically that the people in control think that the stock is undervalued. It's a good time for them to be pulling some of the stock, to spend cash on buying back shares. When the stock price goes up to $22 or $25 or $30 or whatever, then they can always turn around and sell that to the public and get more equity that way. I think the insiders at Zip are feeling as good about their financial performances as you and I seem to be.
You know, we recently talked to Aaron Stewart of Job.com. He's on a buying spree. We'll see if Zip is his next buying target, right? yes. Okay. Well, moving on. I'm delighted that we are able to have with us today one of the pioneers in the job board industry in the UK, Ian Partington. He was the fellow that, if I remember this correctly, founded Simply Jobs and ran it for a number of years, and is now running HST Hiring Group and running a legal aid job board as well. And Ian, welcome to Job Board Geek.
Good afternoon. Good morning.
Yeah, it's one of those, depending on where you are, right?
So, yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Ian, I was wondering if you could give us a sort of a rundown of how you managed to get into this interesting industry and how you came to start Simply Jobs and where you are right now.
Sure. Well, my first job board business was set up in 1999, a website called Just Engineers. That was set up off the back of, it was around the time of, you know, various job boards starting to launch. Monster was big in the UK. Jobsite was big in the UK. And I was actually working for an engineering recruitment consultancy. We just did, you know, a staffing firm. But we were using these sites, Jobsite and Monster. I think Stepstone were in the UK for a small amount of time then. And it was just one of those, you know, entrepreneurial, I guess, this seems really easy to do. Why don't we build a job board and just specialize in engineering? It's really easy. This was from the guy who only 3 or 4 months earlier had started using email in the business. And but sort of long story short, I knew a couple of guys who sort of run web development agencies, and I just said, you know, there's Jobsite, we want that, but for engineering. And it sort of went from there. It was obviously at a time where you could get away with that type of attitude and no knowledge and mm-hmm. and what have you, and that sort of took off really well. And I was with that business for about 3 years, moved away, a few boardroom decisions that we, you know, I couldn't agree with. So I moved away from that. And then I set up on my own as Simply. And I knew that I wanted to stay in the job board business. I didn't want to move back into recruitment or anything like that. But I also knew that essentially niche was the way to go, in my view. You know, there was a lot of generic job boards out there. I saw you speaking to sort of Lee Biggins about this the other week. And I felt that niche was the way to go. So I've quite simply looked at, you know, what niche areas are underserved in terms of job boards and set up some new job boards. So we had Simply Sales Jobs. And then there was Simply Marketing Jobs. Then there was Simply HR Jobs. And they were going along sort of quite nicely. And that business grew in the UK over, I was with it for 16 years. And I moved out of the business in July, end of July 2020. Sort of since then, I've been, I was really sort of pleased, really. When I left the business and made it sort of known on LinkedIn that I was leaving the business, the response to that was quite humbling, actually. You know, the sort of the nice comments that people were making and what have you, it really was unexpected and quite humbling. But also off the back of that, I got approached by a number of different job board operators to say, would you like to come and do some work with us? Would you like to advise us? Would you like to do some consultancy work for us? And I had a great time doing that. It was excellent. You know, 18 months of, you know, sitting in other people's businesses, finding out what they're doing, and then advising on what I felt they were doing well and what they could improve on and what have you. I found that absolutely excellent because I had no real desire to sort of at the time set anything else up. I didn't sort of leave Simply with I'm going to go away now and set something else up. It was just the time to leave. But as that consultancy time came on, there was more and more, I started to get that urge again to sort of work for myself and set something else up. Now we've got HST Hiring, which is basically a hiring business across various different elements. So we've got a candidate management system. We've got we do traditional fee-based recruitment. So going right back 20 years to what I was doing sort of before I set up the job boards, we do more recruitment as a service where you know, companies are outsourcing their hiring to us, but we're using the technology to help facilitate that, whether it be multi-posting or the candidate management system. And I sort of got dragged back into job boards as well, really, you know, as part of the overall business. One of the one of the markets that we deal in quite a lot is the legal market in the UK. So there are a number of legal law-based job boards, but we wanted to be sort of niche within a niche. So we deal in legal support jobs. So that will be paralegals, legal assistants, legal secretaries, legal receptionists. So it's a niche within a niche, essentially, because those are the guys those are the levels of people who use job boards to apply for jobs. You tend not to find experienced solicitors or what have you, sort of using job boards. They'll use word of mouth or headhunting or LinkedIn or something sort of similar to that, really. So yeah, HST is, as I say, I don't want to use 360, it's a bit of a corporate buzzword, isn't it? But we look to hire for companies however they want to hire, basically, rather than sort of pigeonhole just digital or traditional.
And not going to them saying this is the only way you can do it.
Exactly.
You know, we'll give you a bunch of different options.
100%. Yeah.
You know the UK job board market better than I think Jeff and I could ever hope to. What would you say is sort of the best thing that job boards that focus on the UK are doing? And what would you say is the sort of their biggest area for growth, the biggest weakness, the biggest problem?
I can only compare this to the US. I think, and maybe some European. I do think that the UK market, both job board vendor and direct employers, sort of have really embraced the sort of niche area. There's a lot of niche job boards in the UK, which I don't really see. As I say, I can only really talk about the US and some of Europe, given my sort of experience. I think there are more niche sites in the UK, and there's a focus on being really good at one area, as opposed to trying to be, you know, obviously people like, you know, Total Jobs and CV Library and people like Adam Reed do generic very, very well. But I do think from a very early time, the UK sort of, there was a lot of niche and a lot of focused job boards. And I do think that they do that well. You know, we know that they know their markets very well. In terms of what they don't do well, I can really only speak for ourselves, but I do think we were symptomatic of it, is the reliance on recruitment agencies, staffing firms for business. Now, it's not to say that you don't want staffing firms as a client or as a job board operator, but I think, and again, I can only really speak for simply on this, the strive for money maybe diluted the quality of the product that you were giving. So you had recruitment agencies who had multiple vacancies, which meant there was multiple spam jobs, or there was jobs that were there just to capture, you know, job seekers and what have you. And most job boards were guilty of this. So I think maybe that the job seeker experience wasn't high on the understanding of job board operators. It was about driving revenue. Not all, as I said, there were some really good ones out there in really niche areas who didn't do follow that route, but that's just my view. But I think the pandemic and my time at the job board was basically just after the pandemic had sort of started. But you saw a lot of these job recruitment agencies either go completely, what is it, when the tide's out, you can see who's wearing swim shorts. There was a lot of that sort of going on. And also, I think even the recruitment agencies, even then, they reconciled how many job boards they were using. I mean, we built simply on a subscription basis and monthly recurring revenue basis. And we lost obviously a decent amount of that in the March, April, May of when, you know, it first happened, and it was a bad time. But yeah, I think that would probably be the good and the bad in my view.
Well, Ian, I'm kind of curious, and this is a little related to what Stephen was asking. You know, we've talked with some of the guests that we've had on the podcast about the shocks that have hit the industry over the last few years. So, you know, there was the big recession of 2008, 2009.
Yep.
And that was definitely, you know, something that shook out a lot of players. And then job boards came back pretty strong after that. And the two shocks I see that I've heard people that I work with in the UK talk about the most are the pandemic, of course, which was across every place, but, you know, hit the UK just like all the rest of them. And then Brexit. And those two things seem to have really had an effect on the UK job board market. Looking at those two, do you have any feel for which one you think is going to have the longest term effect on the industry?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the pandemic, and I say I came out of the job board industry in the July, so I can only talk about the 4 or 5 months, but obviously I've kept I'd like to keep abreast of what's been going on. I think the job board industry, it seemed to be that there was obviously a mass panic when it first happened. You know, nobody's recruiting. Mm-hmm. What the hell's all this working from home situation? But in all truth, I think it lasted maybe 3 or 4 months. And I think after that time, there was, and the weather got a bit better, and the lockdowns in the UK became sort of a little bit more lenient. So I think companies became more understanding that this is the new normal, if you will. So this is the way that we're going to have to work moving forward. And when you get to sort of September, October time, people started to recruit again. And so I think the dip in terms of the pandemic was probably only a short period of time. It was a shock and awe sort of situation, really, where, you know, it was like, what the hell do we do here? You know, we've never seen this before. What do we do? How is this going to affect our business? You saw on LinkedIn, for example, loads and loads of people open to work. And then all of it just seemed to be fairly overnight, all those open to work disappeared. You know, people had found jobs again, which was great. So I think it was only maybe a 5 or 6 month period. And as you've said previously about sort of ZipRecruiter and all these other job boards showing massive growth, you would expect massive growth on a really poor years previously. But I think they have recovered, and I think they've recovered really well. You know, I know that the generics in the UK are doing good business. So I don't think the pandemic was a long-term problem. In terms of Brexit, I think the pandemic masked a lot of the problems that were potentially going to happen with Brexit. I've never been involved in the hospitality industry or whatever it may be. There are certain industries that are going to be impacted by Brexit much more than others. You know, the markets I've always been involved in have been more professional services and engineering and aviation and things like that. I mean, obviously, aviation's been, I wouldn't say decimated, but obviously it's had a pandemic, then it's had a fuel, you know, the fuel rates have gone ridiculous. And, you know, that's going to be a troubled sector for a while, I think. I'm not probably the best to talk about Brexit in all truth, other than an overall view. But I do think the pandemic, in terms of Brexit, maybe came at a good time.
I think one of the things that I noticed, and maybe this is different in the UK, but one of the key effects of the pandemic in North America, for sure, has been that companies that were not using remote workers suddenly had to use remote workers. And so now we're sort of seeing a little bit of bounce back, where it's kind of like a rubber band coming back, where a percentage of those companies are saying, okay, now you got to be back in the office. Now you got to be back doing whatever you were doing. But a percentage of them are saying, hey, you know what? Why? You know, this is an expense. Yeah, you know, let them keep working at home if that's what they want. So, and I think that's affected some of the job boards in terms of how they've approached candidates. And in some ways, it's given them a bigger audience to put up in front of employers, at least those employers.
I think that's actually been probably one of the impacts of the pandemic that I didn't mention, is that there's a bit of power shift a little bit, where the job seeker now has a lot more power. You know, there are more jobs than there are job seekers. So, you know, you see it all the time. It's a difficult market to be working in and what have you. One of the biggest questions that gets asked by job seekers now, 100%, is what's the working arrangement? Is it work from home? Is it hybrid working? I think most sensible businesses have sort of gone with a hybrid working model, whereby they're doing 3 days in the office, 2 days at home. That brings its own problems, because their, you know, terms of, you know, contracts of employments are 5 days a week in the office. So it's more of a discretionary decision. But I do think that contracts of employment are going to have to be rewritten as time goes on. To deal with it.
Well, listen, Ian, I got to wrap this up, but I have one last question for you. I'm just curious to hear, because, I mean, you've been in the market for a long time through a lot of different business conditions. You went out of the market. Now you're kind of back in the market, but you're doing a bunch of different things. And I haven't asked this question of any other guests so far. Do you think job boards are on their way out? The whole time I've been working in the industry, I started in 97, they've been saying, oh, yeah, job boards are dying. They're going to go away. They're going to go away. Do you think now we're actually at a point where over the next decade, next 4 or 5 years, job boards are going to disappear?
No, I really don't. I do think that job boards, probably more so than ever, I do think job boards more so than ever are going to have to really adapt to the new market, the way the market, because I think employers are far more savvy now about recruiting. I think, so they are going to have to do things like, you know, programmatic. I wrote an article and I put it on LinkedIn. I found it the other day, actually, in 2016, about PPA and PPC. And there's not many companies who are doing that, you know, obviously Indeed are doing it really well, ZipRecruiter do it, you know, and what have you. But I do feel that that's going to come into it more, because the buyer, the employer, is far more savvy than they were even five years ago. And I think they've started to move more now towards more digital marketing rather than using recruitment agencies. But I think there's still a space for both. But I do think job boards are going to have to adapt their offering far more and far quicker than they probably had to do. You know, over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think that's an insightful comment. And I think, you know, when I think about the industry, because I kind of look at it the same way that you do, but I think about what happened to Monster. And I feel like Monster, they were initially innovative. They went through a period of acquisitions and they sort of sat fat and happy for a long time. And they lost their attention to the market.
Yeah.
And so I'll be curious to see if that happens with Indeed or it happens with, you know, any of these, you know, Total Jobs or any of these large companies. I guess we'll just have to see.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, Ian, I'm so glad that you were able to come on. It's good to see you. Good to talk with you. And if any of our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, obviously on LinkedIn, they can connect and message me on LinkedIn. Or if they want to message, it's ian@thehstgroup.co.uk.
Great. Well, thanks, Ian. Appreciate you coming on Job Board Geek.
I've enjoyed it. Thanks very much, guys.
Yep. And Stephen, if anyone wants to get in touch with you, how do they get a hold of you?
Easiest way is shoot me an email, Stephen, Steven, @collegerecruiter.com. Ian, I hope the next time we meet is in the same place as the last time we met, which was at a conference in Barcelona.
That would be great.
Not have any objections to seeing you there.
Not at all.
I'd be okay with meeting you in a pub in London too. So you know, we'll see what happens.
Okay, great stuff. Thanks very much.
Well, thanks. And that's it for today's episode of Job Board Geek. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed or on Apple, Spotify, whatever you want to use, we're there. Feel free to review us, thumbs up or thumbs down. I'm Jeff Dickey Chasins. I'm the Job Board Doctor. You've been listening to the only podcast that focuses on the business of connecting candidates and employers. That's it for this episode, and we will see you again next time.